You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. Next half hour, we're going to be in a new passage today. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin at verse number 26. Romans 8 is a fantastic chapter. Lots of rich spiritual truth in there, and some of the most well-known verses in the Bible can be found in Romans chapter 8. There's a lot of benefit to the body of Christ that can be applied from the truths from Romans chapter 8. So we're going to be starting at verse number 26. Just like to take a moment and invite you out to our midweek service tonight, 7 p.m. It's our Bible study night. We produce a study guide. We're talking about exiting Egypt and lessons that we can learn and apply to our lives from the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, the plagues, and how God dealt with Pharaoh. And we want to make sure that we don't have hard hearts and make promises to God, and then as soon as the problem is resolved, we tend to forget all that. So tonight at 7 p.m., we're very conscientious of the time. It is a study format. We set up tables and chairs in the sanctuary. We have a study guide. There's notes that you can take, write down, and input that we ask for from people and things like that. So very, very laid back setting, but we'd like to invite you out to that. I think it has tremendous blessing to the body of Christ as we go through this book called Exiting Egypt by Julie West. It's a study guide from the book of Exodus. So Romans chapter 8, like I always do whenever we begin a new scripture passage that we're going to work our way through, I'm going to read all of the 15 verses here, I believe it is. Verse number 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's the love of God, the love that believers are supposed to have for God and for one another. That's what brings us here to Romans chapter 8. So in verse number 26, it's where we... where we're going to begin. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. I'm so thankful that God loves me and loves you, even not just in the areas in which I'm strong, but he loves me in the areas which may not be my strength. I heard a story one time about a real life piano player. I don't remember which pianist it was, but he was so fixated on the weakness of his ring finger and his ability to hit the notes with that ring finger on, that he spent all of his time working to develop that area of weakness to such an extent that by the time he was satisfied with that, the rest of his musical ability had been compromised and he was not as good a piano player as he was because he focused on that area of weakness more than he focused on that area of strength. You've got areas of weakness. I've got areas of weakness. The word here that is translated for weaknesses, that it says God the Holy Spirit helps us, is it describes an area that is an area of sickness or weakness, an area that has natural limitations or a lack of ability or an illness. And so all of us are going to have those areas. It's one of the great benefits about the body of Christ is that we all have strengths that we can help to benefit others in our lives because our area of weakness may be different than their area of weakness. They may have an area of strength where I have weakness, but we mutually benefit one another. And so if you look at yourself and you don't see any areas of weakness, then you probably have a blind spot. When you're driving a car down the road, even with all of the safety features and things like that, with the shape of some of the, or the size of some of the cars and motorcycles and things like that, if you're going the same exact speed, you may not see them out of your peripheral vision. You might not see them in your rear view mirror, but they're still there nonetheless. And so I was driving down the road the other day, and there was a person, and I had caught just enough of the front end of their vehicle in my peripheral vision, and they were going the exact same speed I was. They were in an air. They weren't the problem. If I had tried to change lanes, which I didn't, because I had just had a glimpse of it, and so I was on heightened alert. Don't just presume there's no one there. But they were going the exact same speed. And so they were in my blind spot for a extended period of time. So I was extremely aware of where they were. God, the Holy Spirit, does not just help us in our areas of strength, but he provides supernatural ability where we may have natural limitations. God does not have the same, he doesn't have limitations the way that we do. So there's not anything that he doesn't know. There's no impure motivations or anything like that. God is absolutely perfect and absolutely holy. And therefore, the Spirit of God is one of the greatest gifts to the body of Christ because he brings supernatural ability even to areas where other people would look at us and say they're really weak in that area. So maybe today you could ask yourself, you know, God, is there a place that you're looking to do something supernatural in my life, and I've kind of walled that area off because it's not an area of strength? God may be looking to do something, you know, miraculous in your life. Paul had learned that God's strength was made perfect in weakness. And so what we tend to do as human beings is we try and conceal our areas of weaknesses, our imperfections, our limitations. We try and restrict those because we think that people will think less of us if they knew that we have those areas. I am so thankful that God loves us so much that in spite of our inabilities, he loves us still. So it goes on here, and verse number 26 makes the next statement. It's a statement of fact. It's not a statement that's up for debate. It is a statement of fact. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. There are limitations on our ability to know exactly how we should pray. Now, as I was preparing to come in today, I was thinking to myself, you know, there's a lot of people, and they quote verses from Romans chapter 8, but I wonder if they give any consideration to the all-out commitment that the Apostle Paul had made to taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, to the best of his ability, as much as God would allow him. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And he said, even though he had tremendous revelation, tremendous encounters with God, he said, when it comes to praying, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That is not an excuse not to pray. It is motivation as to allowing ourselves to hear from heaven through God the Holy Spirit and allow him to help us in our prayer time. It says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for us. So in Romans chapter 8, we learn that Jesus is interceding for us. We also learn that God the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. And those prayers are prayed in accordance with the will of the Father. So the entirety of the Trinity is looking and praying for the will of God to be done in our lives. So intercession is one of those things that is something that you pray or you do on behalf of someone else. So I'm the type of person that if I'm in a situation where a person who is allied with me to accomplish a certain task, that I want to defer to their expertise, I may communicate with them a little bit if something comes to mind, but if they're more familiar with the protocol, if they're more familiar with the way things get done than I am, I want to defer to their expertise. And so God, the Holy Spirit, is interceding for you. And there are some people who are very uncomfortable. I'll use that term. They're uncomfortable with the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And that's because to some extent there's a yielding of human control to God control that's involved in that. There are also some things that have been done in the name of God, the Holy Spirit, that have been less than desirable, shall we say. But there have been some wonderful things. Listen, God, the Holy Spirit, when he intercedes for us, that's never going to be a negative. It says that he does that with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so it there are things that he knows that he can communicate. Paul said that he would pray with his understanding and he would pray with the Spirit. He never discouraged the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in the lives of believers. He never diminished those. And so they're not the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, and the giftings of the Holy Spirit are not something to be scared of or terrified of. They're meant to be embraced. There are I've watched a lot of expository messages and things like that of people who want to undermine the ministry of the Holy Spirit and languages and speaking in tongues and things like that. And I just want to ask people whenever they say, well, there's no known language that this sounds like. And so my first question is, do you know all of the languages? We know for a fact that there are languages that are spoken by creatures here on earth that we don't understand, but we know it's a language. We know that they have been endowed with the ability to communicate in languages that we have not deciphered yet. I think you're probably going to find there are going to be some breakthroughs in language with all of the advancement of technology and things like that. I believe you're going to find that people are going to be able to understand one another a lot better. I watched a documentary one night. My wife and I, because of the deterioration of some of the content on television, we're pretty selective about what we watch. And so one night we were watching a bunch of documentaries, and they were historical documentaries from, you know, ancient areas, ancient peoples. We were specifically looking at Persia, and one of the documentaries was about a language, and it was there was this monument that had been discovered, and it was written first in a language that people do not understand. It was written in two other languages as well. And they said, but we still don't know how to translate the first language, and it is extinct. It no longer exists. So if a person presents themselves as an expert in all things languages, then that means that they know every language that is spoken, every language that was spoken, and every language that has yet to be discovered. So when there are things that are needing to be communicated in a manner of prayer, but we have the inability to communicate those in, you know, I don't know if you've ever found yourself at a loss for words. I find myself at a loss for words many times. A lot of times it happens while I'm here on the radio program. It's like, okay, give me just a minute here. I'm going to have to find the right word to say. Well, God the Holy Spirit is never at a loss for words. And so he intercedes for us in ways that we cannot understand, ways in which we have weaknesses or limitations or a lack of ability. And it describes, not only does God the Holy Spirit make intercession for us, but it talks about that, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. This is something that I would highly recommend, and that is that we join with the psalmist and invite God to search our hearts, search our innermost being. I don't know if you've ever lost something that you needed, and you started doing a search, but there are times when our searches have gotten very, very intense. Like, set everything else aside so that we can look for this, so that we can find it. And so if we, and a lot of times it may not be something that you're looking for because it's beneficial. Sometimes there are searches that, you know, there's something that if it's not found, it could be a threat to someone else. Like if you have a prescription and you drop it on the floor, and then all of a sudden you can't find it. You're going to need to search thoroughly for that prescription, because you don't want someone finding that prescription and not needing it, thinking it's something innocent, and it could be something quite dangerous. So you begin to search for it, because you don't want any harm to come to anyone. And so God searches our hearts to make sure that there is nothing inside of us that is going to be displeasing or lead us astray. He's looking to bring the impurities. If you're going to refine ore and make it into a precious metal, it's got to go through the refining process. And you don't get content with it to a certain level. You want to remove as much of the impurities as you possibly can. So whenever you see a gold bar or a silver coin, back a long, long time ago, I had I had 4 ounces of silver, and it said 0.9999% pure, something along those. In other words, they were saying, we've done the best that we can to get all the impurities out, but there's probably still some impurities in there. Well, one day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to be refined. And I read this one time that ancient refiners kept refining ore to remove the dross. And when they knew that they were successful in the refining process was when they could look down into the metal and they could see their own reflection. And I pray that God searches our hearts and removes the impurities, continues to transform us from glory to glory, that when people look at us, they see the nature and the character of Jesus. So it says that, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Many of our decisions that we make are based on our comfort, based upon our wants. Some of the decisions are based upon our needs. But the Holy Spirit prays for us, prays for the saints, because he knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Therefore, he knows the will of God, and he knows to pray according to the will of God. I've made this statement a number of times. Many people in our modern society are very concerned and desire to know the specific will of God. Should I take this job? Should I move to this area? Should I do this? Should I do that? They want to know the specific will of God for a certain area. Well, the best way that I can tell you to begin to identify the specific will of God is to get into the Word of God so you know the general will of God. Know what God says pleases him. Know what it says that God is displeased with, the things that God hates, things that are not going to be found in heaven. When you know those things, then you begin to weed out things that you know are not the will of God. And as you learn God's heart and as you learn God's voice, then all of a sudden you begin to understand this is the will of God in this specific circumstance. That's something that's very important. So don't get it backwards. Say, well, if I can find out what God's specific will is for this circumstance, then I'll learn to find out what his will is in other areas of my life. That might work on occasion, but the better thing is to say, you know what? I'm going to think, I'm going to act, I'm going to speak, I'm going to live according to the will of God. And thank God that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us beyond our abilities in accordance with the will of God. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.